a gift of what spring will yet be. And so we look forward to your blessings, your continual blessings, Lord God. We are so blessed by you. And God, we have gathered here in our church, and we thank you for our church, and we are looking for new and creative things to do in our church to make disciples. We pray, God, that you continue to lead and strengthen us and to guide us into what must be done. And now today, as we stand here before you in this place, if we're gathered here, we think of our country, Lord God. We bring the United States of America before you and all that is happening now. God, we know that you're God over nations. You're God over all things. You're God over the whole universe. You are the creator. And so, God, there is nothing too hard or difficult for you. No leader, no person. And so, God, we're praying that you will touch the men and women who you have allowed to lead this country, the United States of America, this new idea of people coming together from everywhere. We pray, Lord God, that you will bring them to their knees and force them to come together across all their idiosyncrasies and all their differences and on decisions that they have. God, in the name of Jesus, we're asking you. There are so many people who are waiting for their paychecks, those who are fighting in the armed forces, those who are giving up their time to serve the country, Lord God, that we depend on, who will not be paid. God, I'm asking you to touch these folks, Lord. Compel them to do what is right by your people. All of them. God, in the name of Jesus. We have a blessed country, and we should come together in unity. And so, Lord God, we who are here, who are Christian believers, motivate us to pray for the leadership, across party line, pray for all of them, that they will hear God's will and do God's will for God's people. Lord God, continue to bless our country. And give us now, as we're gathered here, hope. Let us continue to hold on to you in hope, knowing that you love us and you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Speak a word now for us. Speak a word, Lord God. A word which reminds us that you're still God and that there's nothing that you do not see and know. We're depending on you, Lord God, to bring us through this time as a people, as a nation, and as individuals. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
My sermon title today is called Grace, Mercy, and Discipleship. And you know, there's a story. We know that on February, there's a St. Patrick's Day, isn't there? March, sometime in the spring, I guess. Well, this is a true story that St. Patrick was, you know, the story, we believe he was from Ireland, but he wasn't really, initially. We know about the real St. Patrick because he wrote, he recorded his life called Confessions. And as it goes, it says, as a young boy, Patrick lived a comfortable life near an English coastal city where his father was a deacon in their church. But at the age of 16, his comfortable life unraveled. Irish pirates attacked his village, abducting Patrick and many of the household servants. After arriving in Ireland, Patrick was sold as a slave to a tribal chieftain who forced Patrick to work with the herds and pigs. In the midst of the squall of the pig, God began to transform Patrick's heart. In his confessions, he wrote, I was 16 and I knew not the true God, but in a strange land, the Lord opened my unbelieving eyes and I was converted. Patrick became convinced that the kidnapping and the homesicknesses were actually opportunities to know Christ better. So after serving 66 years, Patrick escaped, boarded a boat, and found his way back home. At long last, he was on British soil, warmly embraced by his family and his community. In his own mind, Patrick was done with Ireland for good, according to him. It is not in my nature to show divine mercy toward the very ones who once enslaved me. But once again, God would change Patrick's heart. Partially through a traumatic dream, Patrick knew that God had called him to return to Ireland, not as a slave, but as a herald of the gospel. His family and friends were understandably horrified by the decision. "My friends tried to stop my mission," Patrick wrote. But still, he went. Despite these objections, Patrick used his own money to purchase a boat and to sail back to Ireland. Patrick spent the rest of his life preaching the gospel in Ireland, watching many people come to Christ. He also passionately defended them. And he would say, for the rest of his life, Patrick would remain captivated by God's grace. He says, "And I am certain of this. I was a dumb stone lying squashed in the mud. The mighty and merciful God came, dug me out, and set me on top of a wall. Therefore, I praise him and ought to render him something for his wonderful benefits that he had given to me." So Patrick, St. Patrick, would end up serving God and serving and bringing his religion, bringing religion to the people of Ireland. This is the story of how God works. God grants us grace and mercy, and God works like this. So before we look at the gospel narrative, today I want to look at an Old Testament book. I said earlier today that I was at a workshop, the Bishop Convocation, and someone got up, a deist, and says, she was going to read from the Old Testament, and she says, "Why do we call it the Old Testament?" Now, we have been calling it the Old Testament forever. It's Old and New Testament. And she says, "No, it's not old, because old denotes that you want to get rid of it. Old denotes that it's old and it's done for. It is really the Hebrew Bible." Right? When you're in seminary, we'll say the Hebrew Bible, or we'll say the Old Testament, because that part of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi is written in Hebrew, and it was for, right, the children of Israel, which is handed down to all of us. And so she would say the Hebrew Bible. I happen to love the Old Testament. It can be very hard, Hebrew Bible, Old Testament. It can be very hard. You can find stories that you cannot fully understand, but it is left there for us. And so today we have this story of Jonah. And Jonah, friends, as I use this moment to do a little bit of Bible teaching, Jonah is a minor prophet. There are 12 minor prophets. Now, does minor prophets mean they're little tiny people that were writing, or that their work is not important? No. Minor prophets says the volume of what they wrote was smaller. They wrote smaller volumes. Not as much word. If you look at the book of Jonah, it only has 4 small chapters. A couple of them have 1 chapter, right? And there are 12 of them. You know, there's Jonah, there's Micah, there's Joel, there's Abeku, there's Nahum, there's Hosea. There are 12 of them. When I put the kids to confirmation, I let them do it in order. I'm too old now to remember it in order. And so there are 12 of them, and of course the major prophets we know, the only 4 major prophets I believe, and it's Isaiah, and then Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, there are 5, right? And they are and Daniel. They are a lot of volume, right? A lot of volume, a lot of material. Frankly, Isaiah are 2 books. But this, there are 2 books, book 1 and book 2 of Isaiah. You could read Isaiah till you're blue. When you get to chapter 60 or something, you think, "Am I not done yet?" But here it is, this little book as a story of how God calls us and then God grants mercy, grace and mercy to us. Now, all of us who have been in Sunday school, we know the book of Jonah. Don't we know the story? And here it is. The people were disobeying God in Nineveh. They had turned against God. They were doing things that God did not like, and God wanted to send a prophet. Now, a prophet is a person who what? Is a mouthpiece of God. Right? A prophet is, God is using the prophet to speak what God wants the people to hear. The prophet should not have anything, cannot change the word, should not change the word, should not add to the word, should not subtract from it, but to say what God wants them to say. They're different from the disciples. Different kind of ministry. The prophets. And so Jonah was called as a prophet, and a lot of the prophets didn't want to be prophets. You know, if you read about Jeremiah, and so they didn't want to be a prophet. Because they know the people would hate them, and the prophet, being a prophet, comes with heavy burden. God calls us, it comes with heavy burden. So here's Jonah. Jonah now is a spokesman for God. He's called. God calls Jonah. And Jonah did not answer the first time. Do we know that? When God called Jonah, like he calls many of us, sometimes God has to call us 6, 7, 8 times. Thank God that God grants us mercy. Grace and mercy. Jonah says, I'm not going to those people. They're terrible people. I'm not going the first time. And what did Jonah do? Jonah got on a boat, looked for a ship, and the ship was going to Tarshish. You know, that's where Apostle Paul was from. And it's in Turkey. And Jonah got on there and thought he was going to hide from God. Do you know, friends, we can't hide from God? That God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. Right? And he's omnipotent. You can't hide from God. God is everywhere. As the psalmist says in Psalm 139, psalmist begin, where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee from your spirit? Right? Can't flee from you. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and try to go to the utmost part of the earth, even there shall you find me. Cannot hide from God. So when God is squeezing you, God has a plan, right? God is going to get God's way, ultimately. So Jonah decided to go on this boat, and these people are on this boat, and you know, these fishermen are in this boat, and they're doing their work on Jonah. And guess what happens, church? Do we remember from Sunday school? What happened?
Storm.
Big storm. Talk about, folks who know the story, big storm happened and the boat started to rock, right? And almost throwing them overboard. And they went to prayer. I believe they went in prayer and they tried to find out what had happened. And they found out that this man was running from God. And they decided to what? Throw Jonah overboard. Right? And then the Lord would send a big whale. What a story. No movie can be better than that. Not even Steven Spielberg could write this stuff. And a big whale swallowed him up. And in there, Jonah got his conversion. Jonah became obedient. Because if there's a God who could swallow you up, wouldn't you obey him? Now, church, if God can do that, you want to obey him. So Jonah decided to go. And Jonah went to Nineveh, the Bible says. Jonah turned back, so Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, 3 days' walk across. And Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now friends, he gave the word to the people, and guess what? The king of the country, he probably would be the president if it was now. The king of the country believed, he declared a fast, right? Prayer and fast, and the Bible says, and the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, they put on their sackcloth. And sackcloth is mourning, right? The Jews, it's for mourning. The sackcloth, they put ashes and sackcloth. That means they're in a state of mourning. The Orthodox Jews still do that. If their face get white, I don't mean white in complexion. They have the white powder ash on it, the sackcloth and ashes. And they begin to mourn and to fast and to ask God for forgiveness. And when God saw that the people, what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he was going to bring upon them. God granted them grace and mercy. Now, friends, was that going to make Jonah happy? No. I'm going to add that in. But listen, I said earlier and I'll say today, if I come in here and I told you that God spoke to me and told you and says, Hicksville Church, God says you should do such and such. God says you should change. You may not want to listen to me because I'm always saying that. But what if God, you know, said it to me and I came in and I light up? You know, like I light up and a light is coming through and things are flashing. I would hope you would believe that, well, Pastor looked different. God must be speaking through her and begin to change, wouldn't it? So Jonah, the folks believed Jonah because they heard something different. And you remember now, if I come next week and tell you that God said something, are you all going to believe me? Are you pondering that? Are you pondering that I'm going to tell you that God says we should change from doing A, B, C, D? So they did. God told them and they believed. I hope you would believe me. I hope you wouldn't think I'm conning you. Because I wouldn't do that. But here it is. God would grant them, the people of Nineveh, grant them grace. And what is grace? Grace is a free and unmerited favor of God. They couldn't earn it. Grace. God heard their prayers, heard them weeping and crying, and God granted them grace. And he also granted them mercy. Because mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone whom it is within one's power to punish or to harm. That God has the ability to punish us or to harm us, right? But God grants us grace and mercy. And so the people of Nineveh were granted grace and mercy. But Jonah didn't like that. Do you know Jonah got upset? Because Jonah had gotten the message for the people, but he really did not want them to be saved. He had his own plan in his head what God should do to these people. Jonah had in his brain had decided that God should do something else. Do you know that there are people that we pray for? We pray for them, we want them to change, but in our hearts, do we really want them to change? Because sometimes we want to say to them, I told you so. Didn't I tell you so? Right? Jonah wanted to tell the Ninevites, see, I told you so. I told you that God is going to do that. But the fact that they changed and God granted them grace and mercy made Jonah upset. You see, God is always ready to grant us grace and mercy. Do you know that, friends? Always. Right? That's why the song says, right? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace greater than any sin. It's greater than the sin we could commit. And so Jonah got a little bit peeved. And earlier I was telling the church that there's a song that I know. I'm not going to sing it because I've got this, can't do it today. But it says, your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you and praise you too, because your grace and mercy brought me through. Do you know it's God's grace and mercy that brings us through each day? And here's what the songwriter says. He says, thank you for saving a sinner like me. To tell the world salvation is free. There were times when I just didn't do right. But you watched over me all day and night. Your grace and mercy brought me through. That's God's grace. And then the writer says, I'm living this moment because of you. And I want to thank you and praise you too, for your grace and mercy brought me through. Does anybody believe that it's because of God's grace and mercy while we're here. Where our sins are forgiven. And so the songwriter here says, he says, justice demanded that I should die. But grace and mercy said, oh no, oh no, we have already paid the price. The price had been paid. He says, I once was blind, but thank God I can see. It was because your grace and mercy came along and rescued me. Grace and mercy rescued us. So I wanted to take a little bit of liberty with the text, and I'm going to read just one little part of it that was not said, that was not read in the lecture. But I want to tell you what God said to Jonah, and then we're going to get to discipleship. And I'm going to try to find Jonah here now. He's in the Minor Prophets. I think he's before Micah, yes. And it says, just want to read one little part. You know, we read three. He said, but we told, I read the end of three, and he talked about the people turning around and God forgiving them. God extended it. So it says here, Jonah 4, but this was very displeasing to Jonah. And he became angry. He became angry. And he prayed to the Lord and says, oh Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning. For I knew that you are a gracious God and a merciful God, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. See? He knew it, that God would always relent when we seek God's face. And it continues, and now, O Lord, please take my life from me, right? For it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah was so angry that God saved these folks. Friends, we shouldn't be angry. That's what discipleship is going to be about. Us going to tell people about Jesus. And if somebody has been a sinner for until they are 90, they didn't go to church, didn't do what you did, didn't read the Bible, and then they decide at 91 before they die to accept Jesus, we shouldn't be angry. We should rejoice. Right? We should rejoice that God, that they finally said yes to God. Jonah got angry. And I'm using my opportunity here to read you another little part of the scriptures. And the Lord says, as the Lord is going to speak to Jonah, he says, is it right for you to be angry? God said to Jonah, is it right for you? He was saying that you don't have a right to be angry. You are not God. I can forgive who I want to forgive. Isn't it? I can forgive everybody's transgressions. And of course, you know, then Jonah went out of the city and he sat down under a tree and he got all upset. And then, you know, something is going to happen to him. And here's what? God would put a tree over him. He was there all night. And then God would remove the tree and Jonah nearly died. And God would extend Jonah grace and mercy. So God not only extended grace and mercy to the people of Nineveh, he extended, at that moment, he extended Jonah grace and mercy. God is a God of grace and mercy. And because of that, God would then send Jesus Christ. That is the gospel narrative. God would send Jesus Christ to know what? Extend grace and mercy to you and me. Jesus Christ would come into the world, and at 30 he would begin his ministry. And as he began his ministry, he would then call men and women and boys and girls. I know the Jonah story, right? Many people have had, many the folks who have had their Jonah story. Being a pastor or going into ministry or people being to be an evangelist or whatever is not always a wonderful thing that people want. I really didn't have any desire to be a pastor. I didn't think it was all that glamorous and that paid a lot of money, because I'm talking about a Methodist pastor, because I didn't see myself being on TV or, you know, in one of those big jobs on TV, those guys. So I didn't go willingly. I didn't. I made all kinds of excuse. And God speaks to many of us, and we don't always say yes to the Lord. But God would send Jesus, and Jesus' mission was to do what? To bring salvation to all of us. Right? Salvation given. Free. Unmerited favor. Free of cost. And God, Jesus would begin his mission. And his mission was to what? Call his followers, his disciples, disciples or followers of Jesus Christ. And he began to call Andrew and the guys. And guess what God would do? He would tell them to do what? Jesus would tell them to what? To go fish for people. Jonah was caught in the belly of a fish when he disobeyed God. And God would use this. Now the same story, turn around, he said to these disciples, go fish for men and women. Call them. Come follow me. Come. And this time they were going to do what? Spread the good news. When the prophet came, they came with the bad news. But when the disciples came to spread, do you see the dichotomy? Right? You see the dichotomy. Jonah came as a prophet to give them bad news, and God saved them. And then Jesus now would send the disciples. Jesus would come, call the disciples to spread the gospel, to give the good news of his salvation, right? And he would tell them, and he would use who? Fishermen. The same fishermen, kind of fishermen who throw Jonah off the boat, would be the same fishermen the Lord would now use to do what? Spread the gospel. Isn't that amazing how it connects? The Bible speaks together, right? And then he says, I'm going to teach you how you got to follow me, and I'm going to teach you how to make disciples. Is that amazing? Now, friends, discipleship now is our job, because we have been saved by God's grace, haven't we? Grace and mercy, we have been saved. So we have to now make disciples. So it's grace, mercy, and discipleship. God is expecting us to go forward and tell somebody the good news about the mercy and the grace that we have received. Right? We have to tell somebody. Some of us can tell our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, our neighbor, somebody in our job. Because once you have received grace and mercy, you should want to share it, church. You should want to tell somebody. You should want to go fishing. You should want to go fishing. That means go tell the word. So here are some tips for fishing. How are we going to go fishing for people? We don't want to say, as a young boy just said, we don't want to say fishermen. We want to say fisher people. I got to be aware of that. Fisher people. I'm going to have to tell Jesus, we got to be politically correct and inclusive now, Jesus. It's a new time. Fisher people. And it says here, you know, here's some of the tips. Go where the fish are. Tip number one. You got to go where the fish are. You can't fish for people in your bedroom of your house. Unless you have a lot of people in the bedroom of your house. What do I know? Right? You've got to go where the fish. Anybody here a fisherman? Anybody ever watch anybody fish? I'm from Jamaica, so we see people fish all the time because, you know, we're an island. And I never see them fishing out of a bathtub, right? I see them down by the Caribbean Ocean, Caribbean Sea, really. And that's where they go fish. And they have the bait, right? And they got the net, they got the thing, you know, or their net, the fishing. That's what it's called, fishing rod. Or they got the net, right? And they put it out and they go out into the deep. So we got to go where the fish is, right? Be with people. On your own turf, you got to go where the fish is. I know we're sitting in here sometimes and we hope to make fish. Unless the fish crawl in here, we're not going to, you know, unless they swim in here. Let's just start swimming in here, friends, right? Number two, be real, be vulnerable, and be honest. Sometimes we're trying to tell people about Jesus and we want to tell people about Jesus like somebody else. Now, let me tell you something. Many of you here didn't leave your country and your nation and run away and da-da-da. You didn't do that. That's not your story. It's not going to be real. Tell your own story how God has been good to you. Simple. Don't worry about somebody else's story. Because, you know, you're only hearing what they tell you of their story. It's not your story. You could only be real about your story. what God has done for you, right? Tell your story. Be honest. Be vulnerable. People will believe. Be creative. We don't have to do things the same old way. Be creative. Right? You know, folks hang out. I know of a pastor who says, you know, I'm not telling anybody to do this if they can't. He goes to the bars to tell people about Jesus. I'm not telling you to go to the bar to drink now. You know, I'm just trying to say. But his neighborhood is a lot of young people who hang out. You know, I hang out at this place. It's not just they go for a drink after work and so on. He was telling us. And he goes there to tell them about, be creative. Right? Maybe when we're shopping in Macy's, we could stop everybody and tell them about Jesus. Be creative. It says, be spiritual, but not churchy. Right? The average unsaved person, the young people, they don't know all the... If I'm talking to some young people, I don't quote scriptures to them. I'm quoting scriptures to you guys because you're in church. And you got a Bible in front of you. But if you're just talking to somebody in the street, you can't just say to them, well, the Bible says on, you know, John 19, verse 55, that they're going to run. I would run because I would say, my God, I could never follow this Jesus because I can't, I don't even know what's a Bible. And I don't even know where to find it in the Bible, right? So you can't be, we overwhelm people with all these things. Tell them of the love of Jesus. Am I getting you all ready to go fish? That's my plan. Then the next point is be patient. Patience is a virtue. Be patient. Sometimes it's going to take a year to get some people. Sometimes it takes a darn lifetime. Be patient. I've been praying for some people so long that sometimes I forget to pray. Did I ever pray for them last month? Because I forget. I have to make a list. Be patient. And be ready for surprises. Be ready that God is going to do something that you don't expect. That the person you've been praying for, God is going to do. Be willing to step out of your comfort zone. How about that, fisher people? Talking to the fisher people here now. We're fisher people, remember? Be willing to step out of your comfort zone. And be on the lookout for where God is at work. Always on the lookout. And last but not least, be praying. Praying that God will send folks. Because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Right? We are the laborers in the vineyard. We are the ones. So church, the Lord is calling us today to go what? To go fish. Right? To go fish. Could I see my lovely, I'm looking at my lovely fisher people. Right? That's God. This is what we have. It's just us. And even those who ran away and went upstairs, they're also fisher people, all of us. They're here. Listen, God is waiting for us. And why can't we, as I get done, why should we do that? Because grace and mercy has been extended to us. We have received the gift of eternal life. Church, won't you just say with me, thank you, Jesus. There used to be a program on TV. The program was called Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. And the first time I heard the name, I thought, I wish I knew, had gotten that title myself. Thank God for Jesus. And I listened to the program, and the whole program was about, was a radio show. The whole thing was a radio program. Every week he would be thanking God for Jesus for one thing, that Jesus would bring salvation into the world. So the program name was Thank God for Jesus. And he would go through the Gospels and so on and give us reason why we should thank God for Jesus. Because it would be a different story now, wouldn't it, friends? We'd all be on our way to hell in a handbasket, as they would say. But because of Jesus and his grace and his mercy, there's always extended to us forgiveness. Grace, God's grace. Grace that could free us from all sin. God's amazing grace. And so please be reminded, just as Jonah was forgiven by God's grace, so are you and me. Right? So are you, and Jonah was even questioning God, getting mad at God. And God would forgive him. God is more forgiving than you and me to other people. Some of us are holding up people in our heart forever, but not God. God forgave. And because of that, we must become what? Disciples of Jesus Christ. We must tell somebody about him. To whom much is given, much is required. It's not just about money. To whom much is given, much is required. If you know that you're saved, then you have to share it with somebody else. You just got a church. Got to find ways to spread the gospel. This church is never going to grow unless we find ways to do it. It's up to us. God has chosen us, called us, saved us, loved us. That's it. And guess what? The secret is we can't get away from him. He'll find us like he found Jonah. Can't run from him. Thanks. He'll send a whale. Some of us have been running from the whale. Some of us have been in the belly of the whale, and he has spit us out already. We don't want to go back into the whale. Because the whale next time may just what? Swallow his sin, but not God. He will always take us out of the belly of the whale. What a merciful God. Right? So this is our story. What a merciful God we have. Church, don't you get excited when you think that God is merciful? If I did not think it all the things that I have done, you don't know the things I've done. I'm going to write a book and tell you all about it. God has been so good. And I don't mean that I murdered anybody, not yet anyhow. I don't mean things like that. But little things out of the will of God that you do that you look back. You look back at your life and you thought, oh, God, look what I did. But he tells me, don't look back. I have already covered everything you've done. Move forward. Move forward. Don't look back. I've taken care of it through Jesus Christ. Huh? I've taken care of it. I just don't try to do the same thing over and over again. And even if you do, he has taken care of it. What a merciful God. Thanks be to God for that. God's grace.